T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, you got to check in, obviously, with Ira Winderman on the day after the NBA draft, because this guy's got more knowledge in his little pinky toe than we've got in both our cerebellums.
He's written 7 articles since last night.
He's just firing off article after article. We're going to bring on Ira Winderman on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ira Winderman covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. And we'll start here with Tyler. It's Hero, right? Hero, Hero?
I'm going to go with Hero for now, and then I'll say hello to him and say what he says in response and go from there.
Okay, fair enough. Tyler Hero, when you hear the selection, had you had your eye on him at all? Was it a surprise to you? Was it something maybe you expected? Like, before you heard Pat Riley speak yesterday, what was your initial reaction?
That was one of the players I had listed ahead of time as, hey, this guy makes sense at this draft pick for the Heat because of their need. So, in other words, I sort of had convinced myself that it was a fit of the selection. I was not overwhelmed when I considered that. I was not overwhelmed when the selection was made. It just seems to me, like all of us leading into the draft, you want the big splash. You want the do-everything, be-the-next-star kind of guy instead of drafting a specialist. I won't go as far as saying it was like drafting a kicker or a punter, but it sort of felt that way.
Yeah, I was going to say when I was watching it that Brandon Clark, Nasir Little, and Kevin Porter Jr. on the ESPN feed, they were ranked higher than Hero. Like, what set him over the edge? The shooting?
Yeah, you know, I think it's this, Channing. Is I think when you go into the draft, you want to be able to come out with a player and say he at least fully checks one NBA box, that he's going to do something that you know out of college, at an NBA level, and throughout his career. Tyler Hero gives you that with his shooting. You know that he will be an NBA-level three-point shooter based on high school, his AAU play, his college play. He can do that. I think every other name of a player that he passed on, whether it's Nasir Little, whether it's Kevin Porter, whether it's some of the players who slipped even deeper into the draft, Romeo Langford, I don't think the Heat were as confident that any of those guys filled a specific box. In other words, they looked at them like, okay, he could be a pretty good passer. He could be a pretty good shooter. He could be a pretty good scorer, but not to the point where they could say to themselves, hey, he'll do this one thing great. That's a reason. There are a lot of players linked to the Heat who went so late in the draft, like Kevin Porter, for example, at number 30. I think NBA teams feel if you're going to give the guaranteed kind of contract you're going to give for at least 2 years, as many as 5 years, you want to say to yourself, I know in the short term and long term, at worst, the player will excel in this. I think that's why they went in this direction.
Ira Winderman is with us day after the NBA draft. You heard Pat Riley speak last night. He talked about some hope for this roster. In your opinion, we know Hassan Whiteside has opted in. This roster smacks of what to you?
Oh, this roster smacks of playing a waiting game. And Pat Riley kept turning it yesterday during his press conference, when first he'd say, I like our young core. And he spoke about Winslow and Richardson and Adebayo and Derrick Jones Jr. But then he tried to sell the fact that, hey, Deion Waiters was injured before, but he's not now. And James Johnson was injured before, but he's not now. And Hassan Whiteside has not issued a trade demand, and we want to find a way to make it work with him. They got a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's interesting. Just like when you talk about the Heat's first-round pick, he excels in one area. I can't tell you what this Heat team excels in. I can't say they excel in defense. They excel in shooting. They excel in ball handling. They've got a bunch of guys in hock. This is the exact look of a team that is waiting for someone to be airlifted in to save the day. The Miami Heat last year, I made the comment that the Miami Heat last year were a team of 14 eighth men. This year, I think they look like they're going to be a team of 14 complimentary players all looking around going, where's the star tonight? You know, it's like you go to a Broadway show and you wind up getting the stand-in. It could be 82 games of stand-in.
And I need you to help me out, Ira. You've been around Riley a long time. I need a Riley translation. He said orcas instead of whales. What does that mean to Riley?
Okay, so Pat says that kind of stuff, and there are times you sit there and you go, okay, it's a different language, I'm going to figure it out. So he offers that comment, and we all type it in on Twitter because you got to go fast without thinking. When the whole thing gets done, and you see he's mentioning killer instinct, I think the point there, and again, I'm not always sure with Pat because he goes in a lot of different directions. What he's saying is we're not just going to bring in a big name to say we have a big name. We're going to try to go for an elite big name who's a difference maker. In other words, Channing, we might not go for the rumor you're hearing now about Jimmy Butler. Because on the free agent list, Jimmy Butler's probably the, I'm going to say, eighth or ninth free agent in this year's class. And I think Pat Riley realizes, and we spoke about this last week, that when you get that guy in his mid-30s on a $40 million contract, like Chris Paul, eventually like John Wall, you can get stuck. So I think Pat Riley realizes the mistakes of other team is to say, hey, we got a bag of money, we'll give it to someone. I think what he's saying is now, hey, we got a bag of money, we're going to wait for that elite guy to come along, which kind of is terrifying because those guys come along even less often than the Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris types. So I'm wondering how long this wait's going to be.
Now, there were some people complaining on social media last night that, hey, they stole Bol Bol with the 44th pick, but then traded him immediately that, hey, if you could get him that late in the draft, or it wasn't, was that the 44th pick? No, that
44,
was before.
Right. 44. 44, the one they got the day before from Atlanta.
Would there be any notion that they should have kept him just to see? Because then if you get him that
all,
late.
It was a prearranged deal.
So right, okay, so they
really
couldn't.
Drafted him. The hat never fit Bol Bol. You know, it was just an awkward moment for the Heat as it was for Bol Bol. I think that's one of those players that you draft and you're afraid he's going to break. Again, 7 foot two or three and 206 pounds. I think there were a bunch of teams and a bunch of players in this draft that teams felt were such injury problems that they might get saddled with the insurance payments and not being able to get it, and with the player's contract, it wasn't worth it. I think, look, it's not like the Heat let Bol Bol fall. He fell 43 picks when the NBA had him in the green room as one of the top 23 prospects. He was that much of an insurance and health risk. So, yeah, I would have been intrigued by the possibilities. I believe a specialist can make a difference. But I think at the end of the day, the Heat felt if they wound up, moved up in the draft, grabbed the Stanford forward instead, a young developing player who grew an inch a year starting in middle school, that they would be in better shape there. I'm not so sure there were many teams other than Denver that even would have gone in that direction. So it never really was a Heat move. It was more a curiosity than anything.
And Ira, there's been a lot of complaints because I was confused where this guy's wearing a Heat hat, but he's not with the Heat. This guy's wearing a Timberwolves hat, but it's going to have been traded. But we can't say it yet because it's not the seventh. Does the NBA go backwards with the free agency and draft? Like, there has to be a reason behind it.
It is absolutely absurd. The reason behind it is this. The NBA cannot figure out the salary cap for the following year until every bit of revenue for that cap year is figured in. Remember, the finals not only ended just 1 week before the NBA draft, but if they would have gone seven games, it would have been far closer, 3 or 4 days before the draft. So they simply do not have the salary cap set where they can tell teams like the NFL that has a long break after the Super Bowl, hey, this is how much money you have to spend based on this year's cap. So they get screwed that way. But this whole thing of drafting players in the wrong hats, obviously the company that produces the hats wants to have those photos as their marketing, but everyone's wearing the wrong hats anyway. The NBA has to do something. The problem is if you push back the draft, so you wait to get the salary cap on July 1st has always been the day. So if you wait to get the salary cap on July 1st and you give a team a week to go out and take care of the Durants and Kawhis and Kyries and everyone else, then you're holding the NBA draft in mid-July. And you guys might go, well, whatever. What else is going on in mid-July? But then you're not starting summer league till like August. Training camp opens in September. You simply run out of time. What I believe the NBA should do, this might sound crazy to you guys. You know how they do the lottery ahead of time to create suspense on TV that you don't want to show the number one pick first, and how they really do a great job of hiding the results? I almost think they should conduct the NBA draft in private ahead of time. Make sure they know where every player is going. Sequester those guys, you know, for 2 hours. Give them a good meal. Bring in Joe Stonecrab or something like that. And then do the draft so you actually know when that player walks up to meet Commissioner Silver what hat he should be, where he's going, and not putting him in that awkward situation. The other part of it, Channing, which is ridiculous, so many of these players can't play Summer League right now because the new transaction season starts on July 6th, even the Heat's second-round pick. Right now, the Heat are going to go to Sacramento for Summer League. He can't play there. He can't play there until at least the Heat's second game, if not third game, of the Las Vegas Summer League. So I agree. They've got to do something with this scheduling so no one sits there. Yesterday, Pat Riley walked in and they said, well, Pat can't talk about him, and you heard it all around the league where we had these great post-draft press conferences at 1, 2 in the morning, and the GM said, yeah, I really can't comment on that. It's crazy.
That stuff was weird. Ira Winderman is with us. You mentioned the second-round pick. So how do you pronounce his name? KZ Akpala?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, KZ Akpala, explain to me that trade. That seems like a hefty bounty to give up for him.
Well, I think you have to look at it this way. The number two pick in the second round, so basically you're getting a first-round value. He was viewed as a first-round talent. Obviously, we saw a bunch of surprises ahead of him. So you're getting a first-round talent on a second-round non-guaranteed contract. The first five picks or so in the second round still are highly valued because they're considered an extension of the first round. So that's why the Heat first paid the money, the $1.8 million, to buy the number 44 pick for a phony draft choice. But yeah, now they did it again. They traded three second-round picks in order to make that pick. So I think Pat Riley's thought was, look, I'm not going to wait forever on this team. And when it comes to the smaller things, I'm going to get everyone surrounded the right way. I also think that's another way of saying, now if we have to trade Hassan Whiteside or James Johnson or someone, we have another piece there for us. So I think they looked at the number 32 pick as just another pick in the first round rather than the second pick of the second round.
And with Hassan Whiteside opting in, you know, the news breaking this morning, was that premeditated the day after the draft?
Yes.
Is there any reason behind why he opted in today?
Yeah, because there were a gazillion trades yesterday. Why not be able to do it more in your term? Why get caught up in the swirl and become sort of a piece? Because, man, there are so many pieces who were just thrown around from T.J. Warren and other guys yesterday. So he wants to control the narrative a little bit more. Look, it's been clear in our paper and the Herald Online today that there is no trade demand. They don't want to look like a bunch of jerks. But he wants to play more. And as long as Eric Spoelstra is going to start Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk, the minutes aren't going to be there. And Bam Adebayo and Hassan Whiteside have played 70 total minutes together the last two seasons, less than the total of, you know, two complete games. So unless Eric Spoelstra changes his mind, they're going to be loggerheads again. I think eventually they move Hassan, even if it's just for someone else's bad, like Joakim Noah-type contract.
All right, so to sum it up for everybody, they draft Tyler Hero with the 13th pick. Was it 13th pick?
Yeah.
13th pick. Your letter grade on the draft would be?
C+.
Because he feels a need, but he's not a game changer.
Yes, and again, what I've got to figure out talking to the Heat later today and going forward is, why didn't you just keep Wayne Ellington? I know they would have had to pay the tax, but you would have had Wayne Ellington. You would have had an NBA-proven shooter. You could have used the number 13 pick for someone else. That's where my consternation is. And again, maybe it's like the Dolphins-Jay Ajayi trade where there's other factors at play. There's other things going on, players wanting to get more playing time. Maybe there's something there. But man, think of all the shooting that he traded away to get under the luxury tax last season. Not only Wayne Ellington, but also Tyler Johnson, also Rodney Magruder. And heck, even Dwayne Wade stepped up with his three-point shooting to a degree. So they sort of are drafted for something that they could have had anyway. That's the confusion for me. But then again, they had him in for a workout. They scouted him. They saw the special moments. They've done this before. They had Adebayo in for a workout. He sold himself during the workout. They had Norris Cole in. He sold himself during the workout. So maybe they've seen something I haven't had a chance to this point.
It's almost like Khalil Mack with the Raiders, right, where they trade Khalil Mack, and then they go, you know what we need? We need some pass rush help.
Oh, really?
And you're like, well, wait a second. You kind of had that. But
yeah, that's the point I don't get. The entire draft after they made that pick, I just kept thinking back to Wayne Ellington yesterday.
So then, now play it out for us again. So what are we looking forward to as Heat fans? What could happen when we can't even meet the second round pick, right? KZ Akpala, till when?
Until July 6th, the Heat will be in Las Vegas. They'll introduce him then. Tyler Herro had his moment today. He will join the Heat for summer camp and summer league. We'll see him out in Sacramento starting on July 1st for three games before they go out there. But, man, the way Pat Riley spoke on Thursday, I have to think there has to be something more, because this isn't sort of the Dolphins where Stephen Ross came out and said we're tanking and went back a little but sort of set the table as that. This is still the Heat. We're going to make the playoffs. And you know what, guys? When you look at what a team like Atlanta did yesterday with their draft and what happened to them, I think there are now more roadblocks for the Heat. If the Knicks do anything with their cap cash, that's another team that wasn't in the playoffs last year that's going to be in the playoffs this year. I mean, look at the Hawks. They added DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. They're better than the Heat right now. So if the Heat's biggest concern last season was finishing 10th in the East, now it's almost like they got to climb out of 12th in the East.
But what exactly, again, what's the timeline of when they could do something now? I don't understand how the dates work.
Well, anyone who's trade eligible can be moved right away. It's hard to do it in an ending cap year, but the Heat could absolutely make trades today, tomorrow, any day going forward. Can now include both Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside. Can include Deion Waiters and James Johnson. But again, what do you have to offer? What is there tempting on this Heat roster? So, do you go into the Winslows and the Richardsons and the Adebayos, or do you say, hey, they're all we have? That's what I'm curious about, guys. Are they so desperate to lose a bad contract that they'll throw a good player in and absolutely scorch earth this whole thing?
And Ira, another thing today was, and I was puzzled, so I know you were puzzled because I don't know half, you know, you have more basketball knowledge in your foot than I have in my whole body. Chauncey Billups player comparisons, comparing guys to Jay Crowder and Tyson Chandler and stuff. Were you puzzled by some of the stuff Chauncey Billups said?
Yeah, you know, again, those reaches, and especially when you reach the guys who are at the end of their careers and it just seems so appealing in the first place, I almost never think there is a player comp, and I always sort of shudder a little. Look, Tyler Herro has been compared to Devin Booker, but are we just saying that because we're saying he's the next, you know, light-skinned guard out of Kentucky? So I'm always very careful with those kind of comparisons. Yeah, and then when you go to sort of the old school guys who can't do a lot, like, you know, God bless Tyson Chandler, but what does he ever really do but rebound and block a few shots? I think what it said, guys, though, is the reality of the draft, what I've been talking about. There's not a lot of complete players in this draft. It really was maybe a 5, 6, 7 player draft. So all of a sudden you're out there in the teens and you're trying to come up with comparisons, and you're coming up with comparisons to guys who never were all-stars, because I think in this draft, outside of the top 6, 7 picks, you might not produce a single all-star.
Ira Winderman, there's extensive coverage of the Miami Heat's night with the NBA draft at sunsentinel.com, and he has just given us some extensive coverage on what Heat fans think. Quickly, does the movie Cocoon, does that hold up?
Does the movie? I think anything that's that novel of an idea, even though it looks like an old movie, I think if the premise is so novel, then yes, I think it does hold up. Even like a Benjamin Button type of movie in a similar vein there. If someone to me comes up with a notion for a movie that, one, is so unique, and number two, has not been replicated ad nauseum, then at least I can say, hey, this is something different, watch it. And then at least you come away from it going, that writer, that screenplay, they had a pretty good idea there, dear there. Sort of like the movie Memento and movies like that. If the movie premise is unique, I think it can withstand the test of time.
I was really looking for just yes, still a banger, or no, not a banger.
But you know better. Even in my writing, why say in 4 words what I can say in 400? And again, like they played on the Dono show the other day, my hit from Joe Rose, the fact that I can offer this many words without breathing, I think is pretty darn impressive.
I mean, are you trying to fill column inches with us? Because we're in the audience. audio medium.
Well, you know what? Len said I'm still getting paid by the word. So
all right.
The way it
there
is,
you
guys.
Go. Ira Winderman.
I love Memento Ira.
Read his work at Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Thank you, Ira.
I'm going to go write 35 more stories. Thank you, guys.
Man, they work Ira. They work them.
Bro.
That dude was churning out articles. And boop, boop.
I woke up this morning, went on his Twitter. I'm like, this is one night?
Was unbelievable. The most prolific writer of our time, really Ira Winderman. All right, day after the NBA draft, quick break for us, and we'll come right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.